Okay, my name is Stacy Lezeff here. I am from the Yankton Sioux Tribe. I currently reside in Bismarck, North Dakota. I've lived here since December 2013. I have 8 children, but only 6 reside with me. And I'm pursuing my degree in business tribal management at the United Tribes Technical College.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you, Stacy, for coming today and contributing to this interview and sharing your story. It's a humble thing to do because, you know, it's being publicized, but people like you are willing to help other Native Americans by sharing your story. And so I really want to just thank you for that and participate in this effort. So now we're going to go a little bit into with you sharing a little bit about where you grew up. Can you share with us about that?
I originally come from Marty, South Dakota. Coming from a broken home, I lived in Yankton and Mitchell, South Dakota, with my 2 different grandmas. So I kind of went back and forth throughout since I was 2 until I was maybe 12. I lived in Cortez, Colorado, and Orem, Utah. So starting finally in my teenage years, I kind of settled, you know, or maybe I could say had more of a stable home with my mother in Lake Andy, South Dakota. And then I was there till I was 17, went to Job Corps, and then lived in Montana I met my older girls' dad.
So you went to Job Corps in Montana?
In Anaconda Job Corps.
Yeah. Okay. And then you graduated?
No, I didn't.
You didn't. Okay. Can you share what that experience? Where did you go from Job Corps?
Well, I went from Job Corps back to South Dakota and then ended up just working at our local casino.
Okay. So you worked at the local casino, and how long did you work there for?
Well, it's kind of off and on since I was 18.
Mm-hmm. So for a year, basically.
Yep.
Okay.
So I started working when I was 18, because you have to be 18 to work there.
Oh, okay.
With having 2 kids from Montana, I kind of just went back and forth between Lake Andy, South Dakota, to Rocky Boy, Montana, till I was 24.
Okay. And so, the route that you went was Job Corps, 17 years old, and then at 18 you pursued a job at the casino,
yeah.
Kind of off and on throughout from 18 to 24
yep.
years old, and then what did you do? Beyond that,
I turned 24.
Yeah.
Well, I finally left Montana.
Okay.
I left a bad relationship, I should say. Moved back to Marty, South Dakota when I was 24, and I started working for the Yankton Sioux Tribe. And I worked with them until 2010. From 2004 to 2010, I worked for the Yankton Sioux Tribe in several different entities.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so, just share with us a little bit what that was like growing up. You went from, I guess, you know, you went from town to town, kind of going back to your younger years as a child. I think you mentioned something about you moved a lot. Can you explain why it was you moved a lot when you were a child?
You know, the only thing I can think of is just not having like I said, it was a broken home, and it was just my mother probably not really knowing her role as a mother,
mm-hmm.
and just being unstable.
Mm-hmm. Did you grow up in a single parent? You didn't have a father?
Yes, I had came from a single parent home.
Okay.
My mother was pretty much the only person to raise me if it wasn't my grandmother's. So okay. She kind of had to say so where I was going and who I was going to be staying with.
Your grandmother?
My mother did.
Okay. Yeah. So you raised, how many grandmas did you
have? I have two grandmas.
Two grandmas. So you went back and forth between
mother's mother and my father's mother.
Mm-hmm. And what, can you just share some about your childhood? I mean, I don't know if that's what you wanted to share today. Mm-hmm. Or what were some of your, I guess, your challenges through life? Because I know that you have a story. And we want to be able to share with others listening who might have a similar story. But that... to share at the end that not just the how hard it is, but to also share how you overcame that, how you're overcoming it, so that it provides them tools.
Okay, so I pretty much, I don't know, like I said, my mother was young. She was only 14 when she had me, so she was still maturing herself.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing... you know, she's still learning how to be a parent, probably learning how to be an adult at that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think just being, what I learned from it was, learning how to be in a structured family or, you know, a structured environment that I've never really had. You know, there was no foundation anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And to this day, I don't understand why. Like, it was okay. Well, you go stay with your grandma this day, and then next day you go stay with your grandma. I don't understand that, and I never did ask. Mm. So, you know, I'm not sure.
And so, I feel the pain that is still there. And my heart is just, you know, heavy to that because there's a lot of unanswered questions. There's still a lot of pain. There's,
and it's still so common to this day,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
You look on the reservations, you go home, and all these kids are with their grandmas, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Where are the parents? Mm-hmm. And it's still like that to this day. I know it is.
And you're a parent now. And you have, you know, all your children, and you're doing it. You're going to college, and is that where you get your strength?
My children.
Your children?
Yep.
And the experience of growing up with...
A broken home. Yep.
That's where you get your strength.
Yep.
It's through that pain that you understand the importance of having structure for your children to have that and to feel loved.
Yep. And building a foundation.
And
so they'll, you know, they'll know what to, you know, have when they're older or know what to expect or know what to, how it should be.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm still learning, but, you know, I'm
mm-hmm.
trying to show them. Not necessarily how it should be, but, you know, this is kind of, you know, an idea of what to expect or how maybe, you know, where you can start from.
Mm-hmm.
Building a foundation.
Oh, that's so important. That's the first step that is so vital for us to really survive.
Yep.
And not just survive in like a barely, you know, at the very low totem pole survival stage, but to build off of that foundation, yeah. to go up and to obtaining your own home.
Yeah.
And all, can you share with me some of your goals? I mean, what are some aspirations that you have that is really driving you? You mentioned to teach your children these values, to give them structure, love, that foundation. And what are some other things that you're teaching your children through this?
Well, spiritually, I'm trying to teach them to be humble, to teach them with, you know, to have a humble heart, to accept what they have and to not carry a heavy heart, as in do not dwell on things that are out of your hands, things that you can't control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just, and then teach them to be independent and only you can make yourself happy. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
You're teaching them about being independent.
Yes.
You're teaching them how to be self-sufficient.
Yep.
And independent. And do you think that's needed in our native culture today? It's needed within amongst our people to grasp that as well. To
yes.
say we need to be self-sufficient. We need to share with me about that. Your feelings about that.
Yes, I do believe that they, you know, at one time, I guess, only through books, our teaching, history teachings, we were self-sufficient at one time, but I don't know what happened. We lost our identity somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, we're starting over again, and mm-hmm. we're teaching ourselves to be independent. We're teaching ourselves to, you know,
mm-hmm.
to survive.
And so, you know, I know that there's listeners out there that are really in tune with this because this is touching their heart because it's something they've experienced. And then also you have people who don't understand it. So you're educating on both ends. And so what, through your experience, what is it that you have to share with them that you want to make sure they understand in order to help them have tools of survival, to think forward, to think, you know, how to make it in this life? What's the mindset?
Jeez, I don't know. I'm just, you know, just from experience, just my family, we were a very independent family.
Mm-hmm.
We all worked. I worked since I was 14 years old. Mm-hmm. Wish I would have stayed in school, but I didn't. But, you know, we come from a workaholic family, and we pretty much, you know, we're survivors, but spiritually and culturally, mm-hmm. we weren't.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know. Like, I don't know my culture.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew how to survive in white man's world, the Washichu world. Like, you know, I know how to work, I know how to
mm-hmm.
provide for myself, but spiritually and culturally, I didn't. Like, I didn't know. I don't know any tradition. I don't know. You know, I'm learning that right now.
And so, so where do you go? Where do you make time to watch six children, to go to school? You know, you're a single parent. You live on campus, I understand.
Yes.
At United Tribes. You have your little support right there on the community. It has its support services. And so you mentioned that's beneficial to you being able to be successful in pursuing your degree. Yeah. And so where do you have time for the other piece that's so important? Your spirituality, your culture. Yeah, do you?
I make time.
You make time.
I make time for that. I attend Bible studies on Tuesday and church on Sundays, but
so it's, you prioritize.
I prioritize my time. I try. I try to make every minute count, tending to my kids, school, you know, everything.
And why is it important to have spirituality in your culture?
Because it's, oh, geez, it's knowing, or I don't know, I'm just now, you know, I don't know how I can say this, but I just, You know how, like, earlier I said we don't know our identity. Well, I finally know who I am, and I know what I want. Mm-hmm. And I know. And let's see, how can I?
Would you say it's part of the need to be self-aware of who we are?
Yes, like finding our higher power, our spirituality is like reminding us, you know, telling us, showing us who we can be, you know, like our faith and what we're capable of.
You know, okay. Just... So maybe it sounds like first to learn about who we are as a person, individually speaking, who am I? And then taking that and learning more, learning spirituality and the culture, having access to be able to learn that.
Yep.
And then learning about what you can become.
Yep.
Who you are meant to become.
Yep. And where we came from. Because a lot of us don't know where we came from.
So not even knowing where we're going, but to even go backwards to learn who we are.
To give us an idea of who we can be or who we should be. Or we may be.
So it's a life journey.
Yep.
It's a life journey path that you're on right now.
Yep.
And do you believe it's always ongoing? Is it?
Yes.
I mean, it doesn't stop once you become an elder. It doesn't stop at any point.
It's like a circle. It's like a cycle.
Mm-hmm. Lifelong learning, as they call it. About life. Okay. In growing up, you mentioned, I believe you mentioned you were raised by two grandmas.
Mm-hmm.
What were some of the teachings that was instilled in you from them?
Just being independent and working.
Okay.
You know.
They modeled that?
Yeah. That's okay. What they did. Went to school. Have their degree. One grandma has her degree. The other one didn't. She just worked.
Okay.
But.
Hard worker, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just.
Took pride in work ethic.
Yep.
So, and okay.
That was pretty much my, you know, what I was taught.
Mm-hmm. So that tells us the values that you were taught by them modeling it was work ethic, strong work ethic. Higher education.
Yep.
What about some things like they call white man society focus on finances? Mm-hmm. What about, you know, some of that about managing money, you know, just the whole finance and money thing? What were you taught about that?
Well, you know what? Well, the only thing that I would really remember is if you want something, you're going to work for it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And.
But there's not a teaching about, okay, that you have to save for the future.
Nope.
There's not that.
No.
That priority being taught.
No, no one ever told me you're supposed to save for anything. Just, I'm learning that right now.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't told to save money for my kids, or, you know, somewhere along the line, you're going to have this many kids, you better start saving now, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, you better start saving for this house, you're going to someday want to buy. Nothing like that was ever taught to me. I have to learn the hard way. I'm still learning.
So what would you say you would like to teach your children about, you know, about saving for money? Would you teach them that?
Yes.
At an early age?
Yes. Actually, I already am. Teaching them how to save for things that they want in the future, because they don't realize when they start saving now, by the time they want it, they'll have enough for what they want. And teaching them how to, just save.
Mm-hmm. And so what are some other things that you wished you would have been taught at an earlier age?
Jeez. how to, let's see. Well, I don't really, how to stay in school and, you know, get your education. I started pursuing my degree when I was 35. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure I guess it's the way they taught me. To me, growing up with my family, they were like hypocrites. They would say one thing and do another. So it was kind of hard to feed off of their, whatever they're trying to teach me, I guess.
Confusing,
yeah, because they weren't educated themselves, but yet, I should have just listened, but I didn't.
Maybe it's that they wanted better for
yeah,
you?
Yeah, they wanted better, but they, I don't know, they could have...
They didn't know how to tell you how to get there, maybe.
Yeah.
I was always told, go get your college degree. Go to school. I mean, it was just... it was like a drill sergeant, I can still remember that. And that was like the utmost important thing was to get my education. And so like for me, that told me that, okay, succeed. You have to, so you don't suffer. You don't have to suffer in poverty. You know, there's so much. It's not about just that you desire money and that it's something you put first before, your family and God and all of these things. It's not that, but it's a good balanced level that's enough to ensure that you can live in a safe environment, that you have a comfortable foundation, a home. It's your home is sacred. It's very important. It ties into our cultural teachings of our home being sacred, our family being sacred. So I too believe that in that teaching, we align that with having a nice home, a good home, a safe home, and not just internally, but around externally in our environment, that we're able to provide our children. We all want our children to be safe and secure. I think, that goes to a deeper level of just being a human being. We want to be safe and secure, regardless of what race we are, what cultural background we have. I think we can all agree on that piece of it. And so, do you feel that the Indian Center that's being created by the Native American Development Center, do you think it would be wise for us to focus on teaching financial literacy?
Yes, definitely.
You do? Okay. Because I know that it might be in conflict with some of, our cultural beliefs of focusing on money.
Yep.
But it's not that we treasure money in a very selfish way, but it's just to be able to survive in a prosperous way.
Yes.
Aligning it with, again, with having a safe home, a safe environment for our children. But not only that, but to look to the future.
Yeah. I think most Native Americans live the moment. When it comes to money, they're impulsive.
Mm-hmm.
They're not responsible with their money.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a really good idea to
incorporate that into the program. And then you mentioned too, the cultural aspect. I think, and then correct me if you disagree, but having a cultural focus within our center as well, do you agree that's something we need
in
our community?
Yes, most definitely. Because like I said, nobody knows who they are, where they came from. They have no cultural background at all. Nobody knows. Like, I honestly don't know the meaning of a fancy shawl dancer, or I have no idea how to get an Indian name, or I have no idea the meaning, or what ceremonies are. I have no idea what they are.
Mm-hmm. So if there was, say, as the center's building their network and obtaining who wants to be a part of teaching our own Native people about culture, about maybe it's someone who has something to offer with financial literacy. It could be ceremonies. It could be, you know, they could be Christian. They could offer that. It could be their traditional ways. We have different tribes that we work with. So we have a lot of, we have a lot to really know, because it's not just that we live in two worlds. We have different tribal cultural traditions within each tribe. And so our community is in an urban community that consists of not just five North Dakota tribes, but we also have tribal members that are coming from Nevada, from Montana, I mean, you name it, all the way around North Dakota, South Dakota area. So so we really have a diverse Native American tribal population that we have to serve. So would you take a course on ceremony teachings, language teachings, that kind of thing? Would you participate in something like that?
Yes, I would.
And your children?
Yes, most definitely my children.
So what are some other things specific to teachings that we could teach?
Arts and crafts.
Arts and crafts. The meaning of, you talked about the meaning of the dances, our cultural song and dance.
Yep. And then a womanhood, like womanhood or manhood, or the warrior role. Nobody knows, you know, their role. You know,
as a woman, as a man, also as a mother and a father, because those could be two different things, because not everyone's a mother nor a father. What about our youth? What do our youth need?
Guidance.
They need guidance. So something like these things would be hugely beneficial.
Yes.
So they're not waiting till they're 35, 40, 50, 60 years old. So there's a lot of benefits to having an Indian center in our community to teach a wide variety of tribal background members, all of these different things. Yeah.
Not necessarily background, just, you know, like you said, the financial thing. Just to give them an idea of, you know, what to expect. You know, how to manage your life, I guess. You know, because some people don't even know, like, how to maintain a home or, you know, just the basics.
How to purchase a home.
Exactly.
What that process is, right?
Yep.
Home ownership.
Yep.
And maintenance. Okay. So share with us, you know, you had a lot of challenges growing up, and somebody who's listening who can relate and have those same challenges, and who haven't really figured out their way yet, what would you tell them to help them? What is the final message that you would want to send?
My final message is to explore your options. Don't settle. There's so many opportunities available for anyone that we need to take advantage of. That we don't take advantage of.
Would you say to how where is the priority of having faith in your higher power?
Faith in my higher power is what keeps me going. Let's see. knowing I believe in God, he's my higher power, knowing that he's there, knowing that, I mean, because that's the only culture, I mean, I'm Native American, but he's the only higher power that I know of. Like I said, I wasn't taught, you know, any other way. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, I just have faith in him, and I know that he is amazing. He is what's gotten me this far in my life.
And share with us, what are some of the things he's done for you so far?
Well, he's taught me not to have a heavy heart. I'm learning not to dwell on my past, that it doesn't get me anywhere. Being able to forgive is easier for me to pursue my dreams. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not carrying, you know, the weight or, you know, dwelling on my past. I'm trying my best not to carry that with me. And doing that, being able to do that is making it, life easier, I should say. Like, I feel really light, you know, like I feel like I'm floating through my world at times. Mm-hmm.
Would you say that all the hardship that you had, not having, you know, the stability, the structure, that feeling of being loved by your mother, mm-hmm. All of those things, you know, people can look at as a really negative thing, but can you look at it as a positive thing today?
Yes.
You can. How, yeah. Share about that.
Well, the feeling all those, not having stability, foundation, not having a loving mother, a loving father, taught me to be a loving mother. Like, well, this is what I didn't get as a child, so this is how I'm going to treat my children, and this is, like, how I want, you know, to be as a mother, mm-hmm. and, you know, so.
So it challenged you, yourself, to yep. say, no, this is wrong.
Yep.
That you realize that my parents are human, and that they're made mistakes,
yep.
and that you can forgive them.
Yep.
And that you need to forgive them to be able to move forward.
Yep.
That you can't stay in that anger and hard yep. heart of resentment. Otherwise, that will continue to feed something else in a negative way.
Yes, exactly.
And so instead, you take a negative and turn it into a positive.
Yep.
And because there's no other way of going back the other way.
Yep. Can't change your past, so might as well change your future.
That's powerful. Well, thank you, Stacy, and thank you for taking time for this interview. I enjoyed visiting with you today.
Thank you.